Moncrief on News Talk.
Barbara Scully and Declan Buckley join us once again. Good afternoon to you, to you both.
Just to complete the doomsday scenarios.
Indeed, yes. And just before Christmas, we said, see you in the new year. How young and carefree we were then.
Was that only last Christmas, yeah?
Yeah, all of 17 years ago. Right, anyway, here's your first question. I love my boyfriend and I get on great with his family too. However, I am struggling with one particular problem, which is very tricky for me to address. Every fortnight, we travel down the country, no, not at the moment you don't, to spend the night with his parents. They live on a rural farm. His parents are lovely, welcoming and friendly with me, but their house is horrible. I can't sugarcoat it. Their house is dirty. The one single bathroom doesn't get cleaned. When I step into the shower, I wince at the layer of grime underfoot. The toilet bowl is black and the rim has a growing nest of curly hairs. You're a very vivid writer, I must say. There are dogs everywhere. The kitchen smells like a morgue. Sometimes his mum will say, oh, the mice are back, as if there's something we just have to put up with, as opposed to solve. The scratching of the mice on the floorboards keeps me awake and I can't even sleep. My boyfriend is extremely protective of his parents and gets very sensitive if I say anything critical. It has got to the point now where I just don't know if I can do another year of visits. Please help. Barbara.
I'm not going to sugarcoat my response to this. I couldn't do that at all. I couldn't do another, not even another year. I couldn't do another month of visits if they are even half like what she describes them. And I mean, you know, that's, I'm not judging. I live with animals. I've had to deal with mice. I'm not judging the boyfriend's parents, each to our own. And I mean, there is a school of thought, and my mother would subscribe to that, we all live, even before COVID, that we all live in environments that are too sterile and it's not good for us. Mm-hmm. But as far as I'm concerned, bathrooms, bedrooms and kitchens have to be kind of fairly clean. So I don't know if I can offer her much useful advice, except to say this, that as you mentioned, at the moment, she's presumably not traveling anywhere. And I think it might be a good idea for her to use this break in the visits to perhaps gently explain to the boyfriend that she just can't do this anymore, without, as I say, trying to judge his parents. It's just her thing. It's nothing to do with how they choose to live in their own house. They're allowed to do whatever the hell they want. I would then say, when the visits start up again, in order to spare the parents-in-law's feelings, that perhaps she should consider, and I hate doing this because I'm a terrible believer in karma, maybe she should consider inventing like maybe an asthma or certainly an allergy to dog hair or something like that, that she could use as an polite way of saying that I'll come for visit, but I'm not staying for very long and I'm certainly not staying overnight, that she can stay somewhere locally in a hotel or a bed and breakfast or something. The other thing that strikes me is that her parents-in-law will have fantastic immune systems and they're probably going to live forever. Yeah. So she does need to sort this out if she's going to continue with the boyfriend.
It's a tricky one, all right. Yeah, it's you see, I don't know why. Maybe he can't understand why she would find that. Because, I assume that they either live together or they go to each other's places and those places are clean. So the boyfriend must be aware of the difference.
Yeah, and that's part of what I popped into as well, because she described the way that her boyfriend as being protective of his parents. But I mean, I wonder whether he might be feeling a little bit defensive because he's not really stepping in. Because I agree with most of what Barbara says, but I do think that sometimes, whether it's because of people's personalities, whether they're just a little bit chilled and a little bit relaxed, or they're very busy with other things, that they tend to accommodate a certain way of living, that's just the way that they do it. And and sometimes they need to be kind of, especially as they get older, to be kind of helped out or to be kind of nudged towards a certain kind of, I'm kind of aware that Barbara was kind of implying that everybody should live their life the way that they want to. And I also don't know if I entirely buy her sterile world scenario. I think that's kind of a bit of a couple. I don't think we need to be spraying every surface with these things that kill 99% of every known living thing dead. But I do think that what the COVID scenario has showed us, that we do have a communal responsibility to ourselves and the people around us to maintain certain levels of hygiene. So I think the COVID thing might be the hook. It might be the excuse. I do also think, though, the allergies thing, I did come up with the allergies thing as well. That thing, I think that's what I would have done, is to go, I can't with the dog hairs and maybe the mice poo and whatever else it is. I it's affecting my breathing. I can't. I'm sorry. Mm. And if that all fails, it's kind of like divorce the parents, because, you know, as Barbara pointed out, it's just not something that you're going to want to do. It's just not something that's going to become something that, you know, that's their way of life, but it doesn't have to become part of yours.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I do think that like, as people get older, I think their priorities change as well.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, they've always lived like this, and maybe it's got worse now, because obviously as you get older, housework is very physical, and it can be more difficult to actually give the place the kind of clean that perhaps you might have done in the past. But it still is, I mean, I really believe this strongly, that it still is, where older people are concerned, it's up to them. I mean, they haven't become stupid. They're probably happy enough with all the dogs, and they like the company of the dogs. And I'm not sure about the curly hairs in the toilet bowl, but, exactly. You know, you have to respect the fact that it's up to them to live whatever way they want to live in their own homes. I wouldn't like anybody coming into my home and saying, oh, you know what, I can't come and visit you because, you know, I don't like this, or you're not clean enough over there, or whatever. But having said that, like, as I say, I couldn't do it. If that house is even half as she describes it, I'm afraid I wouldn't even be having a cup of tea in it.
It could be that they just don't get it. And even if she says, I've got asthma, let's say, we'll keep the dogs in the next room. And then not really understand what the issue is, kind of thing.
Well, then she's going to have to be a very good actress and do an awful lot of coughing and sneezing and for labored breathing and all the rest of it.
There is a certain level of kind of, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but the difference between city living and country living has always been different. And the whole kind of the hygiene thing developed a lot more in cities.
Because you're going to get killed.
Yeah.
It became a...
You're basically saying coaches are dirty. That's what you're saying.
Yes, that's exactly what he's saying. Yeah. You're going to be dead.
I don't know what
dead.
It's like out in the woods.
comments. Hush now, Declan. Put the shovel down. I think there comes a point in life when you can't see the dirt around you anymore at a certain age, says Kay, and you can't smell yourself either. I think these parents have reached that point. Someone else says, well, maybe that madam should clean the house. Maybe those people are too old to really take care of the household, so fix the problem instead of making it the boyfriend's issue. I think, though, if she went down and started cleaning the house, they might be offended.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I think they would.
Exactly. No, I don't think you could do that.
Orla says, I had similar issues. I could never relax in the house. I try to meet them out for lunches and dinner, say, and I rarely go to their house, but invite them over all the time to our house. They seem happy enough. But I suppose if you're close, that'll make a difference. And someone else suggesting, tell her to get a big bottle of Jif next time and go scrubbing. They might get the hint. I don't know.
I love that, that it's up to her to scrub the house. Yeah. Of course it is. Yeah. Hey.
Right, next question. My mam remarried a few years ago, and her new husband, my stepdad, is really lovely. He makes her so happy. He also has three adult children who I rarely see, as two of them have families of their own, and the third son is either away in college or travelling. He came home this year for Christmas and stayed with us. We are both in our late 20s and get on really well. We have similar interests and he's very witty. We were drinking away one night over Christmas and having a real howl of a time. Just the two of us in the kitchen. God save us tonight. We should be playing banjo music under this. It was then I realised that I was flirting and was quite attracted to him. Now, I don't know if it's because I've been starved of flirting all year, but I was really surprised. Is this wrong? But it feels all right, my addition there. Is being attracted to your stepbrother a cardinal sin? It's the first time we ever spent proper time together, so maybe that's why I have feelings. I'm so confused and can't confide in any friends or family, as it's too weird. Please sort out my head for me. Now, Declan, where is she on the weirdometer?
she was asking about it being a cardinal sin, and I'm not sure whether I can help her on the theological side of it. Although I did flick through the Bible, and there's a lot of weird things going on in there, so maybe she's on solid ground. I'm going to file this one under, you don't have to scratch every itch. It's one of these ones where I don't believe that technically there's anything immoral about her feelings. And I don't think if she was to pursue them that, you know, that she'd end up in any court of law, you know, for any kind of, you know, morality charge. Mm. But I do think that pursuing them well, especially while her head's in the space that it is right now, is a very bad idea. I totally get that 2020 was an awful year for single people, you know, looking to meet people and you know, who doesn't like a little bit of a flirt attention with, you know, a good looking person. But this guy is somebody that's going to be at family events and around for years to come. So if she gets it wrong, it's going to be really wrong and really uncomfortable. So I suppose rather than saying what you're doing is completely wrong and it, you know, putting it in that kind of frame of mind, which might just make it more attractive to her, I would chalk the whole thing up to being kind of harmless flirting that's fine, that went nowhere. And it's off limits now because she's choosing it to be because of the reason that she knows that it's not going to be a good idea. And if something happens down the line, and it probably won't, but if it does, it'll be with kind of a lot of kind of thought and whatever, and it's not going to, because it's just, it's the bigger family scenario is where I see it being a weird thing, you know?
Yeah, imagine having to sit down and tell, you know, your mother and your stepdad, guess what? Barbara, would you be of a like mind?
Yeah, I would be fairly much of a like mind. I'd be fairly clear, though, about the fact that intrinsically there's nothing wrong, and it's quite understandable that she might be attracted to this guy. They're not related in any way. Mm. So, you know, I don't see that there's any problem technically, if you like, with all of that. But what Declan said is exactly right. He is part of the family. So therefore, either way, in other words, if it leads to something or if it all goes pear-shaped and tits up, it's going to have fallout within the family that you can't get away from, because he's always going to be there. He's always going to be around. And so for that reason, I think more than anything else, I would absolutely steer clear of it. But then I would also say, and I think she touched on that and so did Declan, at the moment, we are all starved of new people, of affection, of kind of, you know, all those things, which I think is going to possibly, in this instance, cloud judgment to quite a degree. So I think for both of those reasons, I would absolutely steer clear of this and definitely not. Park the feelings, avoid spending time with them on your own. Harsh, maybe, but I think in the long run, it's the best bet, you know?
Yeah,
once everything frees up and we're all out and about in the world again, he mightn't be quite as attractive as he is now in the kitchen, being really funny when there's nobody else in the kitchen likes to be in the kitchen for months.
Yeah, well, maybe he's going to be going away again anyway. It sounds like he was just back for the Christmas. That might solve the problem. And as one texter says, the fact that you have to ask the question says it all. Don't do it, obviously.
Yeah. I think she was looking for somebody to say it's okay.
No problem at all. I was attracted to my cousin as a teenager at the time when your hormones are all over the place. I realised what it was and caught myself on. This girl just needs to get out whenever safe, and that will fix her want. Well, God love her.
God, we all want our wants to be fixed.
We certainly do. Just outside of the house for a change. That'd be great. At the same time, she's a great COVID story. If she doesn't do anything, then in 6 months' time, it's a fantastic COVID story to tell her friends, even if they go, ooh, at the time. But they'd all go, we know what you mean a bit. Next question is, I'm with my girlfriend since I was 17. The typical childhood sweetheart story. We're 24 now. Oh, you're old. So we've been together a long time. I have socks older than that. Over the Christmas, I could tell she was waiting for a proposal. I told her a few times, in a jovial way, that she'll need to wait a bit longer. She never really took me seriously, but I didn't want to fight about it, so never pushed it. Yes, we're together a long time, but we are so young and have loads to do before we settle down. I know she wants to start a family young, but I want to travel and experience a bit more of life before any of that. She knows this, but again, doesn't really hear me when I tell her. It's not like I don't see a future with her, because I do. I'm simply just not ready and have no way of affording the ring I know she wants anyway. I know she's disappointed and is a bit off with me at the moment, but I feel she wants too much too soon. How can I get through to her without hurting her feelings?
This is interesting. I Absolutely, except that they're very young. But I want to talk to this young man directly and share something with him that I regularly share with my own children. Not that it makes any difference whatsoever.
Oh,
but
dear.
I thought like the way he did back in the day, you know, that there was lots of things that you should do and have ticked off before you actually think of settling down. And for that and other reasons, I didn't get married until I was in my mid-30s, which back in the 90s was reasonably old. That means we bought our second house when we were 40, which was not a good idea. It means we now have a mortgage till we're 70. And now is the time when, like, we still have the energy and the health and we should have the money to be able to do the things that we want to do if we didn't have the anchor of a mortgage weighing us down. So what I'm saying to him and anybody else who's young listening, and I say to my own children as well, is that when you're computing all this stuff about your life, I think we forget to add in the fact that we now live longer and we live healthier longer. Mm. So that, you know, it mightn't be the wisest thing, even though I know everybody will think it's the wisest thing. The other thing which I think for this young man, and I get the bang of kind of like not arrogance exactly, but certainly infallibility off his letter, is that it'd be a good if for a minute he didn't think he was the oracle of all wisdom and try and see this from the girlfriend's point of view, because she is a woman and there is a biological clock and it is easier to get pregnant in your 20s than your early 30s than in your late 30s. So I think I would just I'm not going to advise him one way or the other, because everybody has to make their own decisions on this kind of stuff. But I think that he has kind of accepted a whole load of things as being absolute, and they're not absolute. And you don't want, if he's really into this girlfriend, and they're probably first, that's probably their first loves each, so probably isn't going to last. So probably everything I've said is a little rubbish. But, you know, I just want him to wake up and look at some other things around him that are right under his nose. And don't be just proceeding down a road with blinkers on because you think you've got all the wisdom you need. You haven't.
No.
Barbara, I disagree with you completely.
I know you do.
Because I do think, part of growing up is, one is you learn about the potential of the road ahead and all the things that you can do with your life. And the other one is a kind of a checklist of all the things that you know that you'll have to do. And I think that the girl here, the woman, the 24-year-old child bride here, is she's very much about getting on her checklist of the things that she needs to get, the diamond ring on her finger, the wedding, and then the family. And he's like, I'm living my life and life is about experiences and I want to do what feels right for me at any particular moment. And I think for exactly the reason that you mentioned, that the relationship is quite young, he's being a little bit more of an adult than she is, in the sense that he's going, I'm not ready. That's the only reason that anybody ever needs not to choose a course of action, is if they're not ready. That's number one. And he's saying he's not ready. Whatever his reasons are irrelevant. She's pushing him with sour faces and expectations of diamond rings over Christmas. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. She's wrong. He's right. He should travel the world when the coronavirus is gone. And she'll be there waiting.
Okay. All right.
I think any woman listening to you will have abandoned your theory when you
she's
said
24, oh, she just wants the diamond
54. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. No, that is terrible. I still think all I said was that he should look and take on board lots of other things. And the kind of madness that says once you get married, then your life is over. That's ridiculous. I mean, it is for a bit, especially if you have kids, kind of.
Well, that's what she wants, though, isn't it? So she wants the whole package.
I'm not saying definitely do it early. I'm not saying if I had my life to do again, would I have gotten out to the starting blocks a bit earlier. But I do think that we sometimes forget that by the time you get into your 50s, you will still have lots of energy and hope most of us have reasonably good health, that you can do a lot of the things in, you know, that you think have to be all squashed into your 20s and early 30s.
Yeah,
that's my point.
But he's 24, though. 50 is like...
He is 24.
Yeah, 50 might as well be the 23rd century as far as he's concerned. As far as they're both concerned.
That is true. Yeah, that is true. But he is a bit like Declan. He thinks he's right. And I'm not sure that he is.
He's 24 and he can settle down when he's 26 and still have seen the world for 2 years. You know, I just don't think that. Yeah, 2 years is enough to see the world. He hasn't done it yet. That's my only point. So putting it off for a little while, I think.
Yeah, he's not going to be doing it anytime soon anyway. So
No, he's not.
I'm going to throw you a bonus question.
Hooray, we haven't prepared for
I've been working at a place for 4 months. The job ended last week. When it was at the post office. There I met a co-worker who has a girlfriend for 13 years and living together for 6 years. He doesn't have a steady job. Yeah, definitely on post. His girlfriend does. We started to spend all of our break times together and then he started to text me almost every night, typing for 2 hours, talking about ourselves and daily stuff. No flirting. Day by day, we got closer and closer, so I fell in love with him. And in my mind, I thought there could be a possibility that he could leave his partner. The last days at the office, he said things like, "You look great, I want you for Christmas," and even asked me out to have lunch. While eating, he suddenly stood up, saying he had to leave. Next day we met, he confessed he had feelings for me he hadn't felt before, and he felt he was cheating on his girlfriend. He said if he was single, he would date me, and said we won't meet face to face anymore. I decided to be honest and texted him that I loved him. He answered, "Better not talk to each other. Wish you the best." Has it been too much to say the truth? Did I scare him?
You're scaring me.
Oh God, this is awful. You were honest, but yeah, this is. Look at my advice. I should stop talking right now because I have some experience of this. Don't park it, leave it, walk away. It'll only do your head in. Otherwise, walk away. If he hasn't got, you know, he wants his cake and eats it. Walk away.
Yeah, but he's walked away already, Declan. He's actually doing the right thing here.
I think he said it's done, and her feelings unfortunately are irrelevant because he's already in a relationship.
He's just stomped all over them, though. I know how awful she feels, and it's awful. They've all come crashing down. He texted that he wanted her for Christmas, and then he said, "Yo, I have to go home to my girlfriend." That's terrible.
Well, to go back to, you know, the woman who fancies her stepbrother, isn't there a little bit of that? He's been stuck in the house, she's been stuck in the house, he goes out, he meets a woman, gets a bit of attention, goes a little bit too far, then he realises, oh God, what have I been doing? And then stops it.
No, Sean, this has been going on long before COVID ever hit the shores and made us all mad. Work relationships can be really, really, really tricky because you spend more time very often with the people you work with than you do with your partner.
True.
It's very easy. It's very easy for friendships to cross the line. And she's obviously fallen for this guy and her heart will be bruised and battered. Yeah. But Jesus, girl, you'll get over it quicker. Walk away.
He's not available. He should never have encouraged it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's encouraged it. That was after he encouraged it. It wasn't like he didn't encourage it. He played this game to a certain point and then he decided, I'd better back off after he told her he wanted her for Christmas. So he's not a good egg anyway. So,
yeah. Now, maybe that statement could be, you know, misinterpreted. Maybe he meant it quite innocently.
Yeah, like hell he did.
Maybe she was holding a large cake at the time. And that's what he meant. Barbara and Declan, happy new year to both of you. We'll talk to you next week. Barbara and Declan, there you are, listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. We're going to take a break, back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.